1, 2, 3, testing. This is an oral history interview with Mr. R.L. Westbrooks, Jr., conducted by Deanne Westbrooks on April 1, 1995 at 8 o'clock p.m. The subject of this interview is his life, his early life growing up, and his experiences in Vietnam.
Mr. Westbrooks, can you tell us where you were born?
Did you say where or when?
Both.
I was born the 11th day of February 1945 in Piedmont, Alabama. My mother gave birth to me sometime on an early Sunday morning. And she had met the doctor at my Aunt Frances' house. That's where I was born.
Who was president
when you were born? Well, the month I was born, Roosevelt would have still been president. But he was assassinated. No, that's not correct. He died, rather, in office, I think, in April, but after I was born in February. But that was, of course, naturally, I was too young to know anything about it.
And Truman succeeded him?
Yes, Truman was his vice president, so Truman finished his term, and then Truman ran another term and was elected again, if my history serves me correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. How about your family?
What in particular you want to know?
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Two sisters, one born in 1946 and one born in 1958.
About your parents?
My parents were both born in the Piedmont area, or in the Spring Garden, Cherokee County and Piedmont area in 1924 and 1925. My father was born in 1924. My mother in 1925.
How long did y'all live in Piedmont, Alabama?
Well, I recall that when I was apparently about 5 years old, or just prior to the first grade, we moved for a while to Elizabethtown, Kentucky, because my father was in the Army at Fort Knox, Kentucky. And that's when I was in Elizabethtown, Kentucky, that's when I started the first grade. And we lived there, I guess, somewhere close to a year. And then, best I can remember, was the second grade I was in. No, I ended the first grade in Piedmont, Alabama, if I remember right. We went back there briefly when my father got out of the Army, and then he decided to join back up, and then we went to Fort Benning, Georgia. And we lived in Columbus, Georgia for a couple of years. And after that, he was transferred to Fort Campbell, Kentucky. And we lived there in Clarksville, Tennessee, in Hopkinsville, Kentucky area, until about the time I was in the middle of fifth grade, we moved to Germany, and that would have been about January 1956. My father was stationed there until December 1958. So we were there for the most part of 3 years. And then we moved from there back to Fort Bragg, North Carolina. We lived there for about 3 years. And we moved briefly to my father went on to Germany. We lived in Piedmont, Alabama briefly while we were waiting to join him there in Bad Kreuznach, Germany. And I finished my high school in Bad Kreuznach, Germany. And I returned to the United States after I graduated from high school. My folks stayed in Germany a couple more years. And I returned to the States and attended college at Jacksonville State in Jacksonville, Alabama.
Tell me about your childhood in Germany. What
what all do you remember about the German culture?
Now, the first time we went to Germany, I was in the fifth, part of the fifth, sixth, seventh, and part of the eighth grades. So that was approximately my 11th, 12th, and 13 years of age. And we lived in a American military housing area. We lived in apartment buildings. My father served his military duties in an old converted, of what was formerly a Nazi army base that had been taken over by the Americans at the end of the war. And we had our own American school there that we attended. And we had quite a bit of exposure and contact with the German people, but from the standpoint of actually living among them or going to school with them, most of the Americans over there didn't. They lived like we did. Most of them lived in American housing areas and went to American schools.
How was the German economy after the war?
Well, in 1950s, when we lived there the first time, the economy was still trying to recover, and but the German people were very industrious, very hard-working people, and so they gained ground quickly, but there was still a lot of signs of war even 10 years after it was over, and 11 years after the war ended, that we could see when we lived there then. But there were so many things you can do, and so many things to see, and so much history to that you could see and experience firsthand, that when you live in Germany and be able to travel around Europe like we did.
Where else
did
you travel?
Well, we made trips to Austria, Italy, Switzerland, France, Spain, and stayed quite a few days in all those places. And some of them were really quite fascinating and really beautiful places. But we took one trip one summer that took us around several of the countries in Europe, and we took just about a month to make it. And that's something that even I was just 12 years old to find, I can still remember it. A lot of the details of it almost like it was yesterday, because it was so such a fascinating thing to do. We traveled around that year and we stayed in a tent. We stayed at campsites everywhere we went. And several places were on beautiful locations on the beach or in the mountains. And the only time we stayed in a motel or a hotel or what have you during the whole trip was somewhere on the coast of France. We decided one night just to stay inside of a hotel. And believe it or not, on the whole trip, that was the only night that we had trouble with mosquitoes eating us. And as long as we stayed in our tent, with the mosquito net, we never had a problem with mosquitoes. But that night in that hotel, the windows didn't have screens, and the mosquitoes were bad that night, and we got bit by mosquitoes. I can remember that. And, of course, the beautiful scenery in Switzerland and Austria, and the sights in Italy. Got to go up in the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That was back before they quit letting people go up in it. For a while, they wouldn't let people go up in it because the government leaned so bad. That's happened in recent years, I understand it. But now it's, in the 50s, it was still something that was, it was fascinating because they had a circular staircase inside the Leaning Tower that goes up and get off at each of the levels. and somewhere in all of our pictures, family pictures, my mother and daddy have a picture of my father and me standing on the top outer edge of it where there's no railing. My mother took a picture standing down below on the ground.
You're scared you're going to fall off?
And my father, he'd been an airborne type. He got me right up to the edge, showed me what it was like to stand up and look over heights. With doing what I do for a living now, that kind of doesn't bother me anymore. But when you're 12 years old and somebody pulls you right up the edge of a pretty tall structure, it's kind of scary.
The years that you were, where were you, when Kennedy was elected? Were you in the state? Or were
you? Kennedy was elected in 1960. We were living in Fort Bragg, North Carolina at that time.
Did you like his administration? Did you think they were good for the United States?
Well, I have to be truthful and say no, but I never liked him because if I had been old enough to vote, I would have voted for Dixon. And I have just never been a Kennedy supporter or a Kennedy fan, or, and I hate to see anybody get assassinated, but I never did support the Kennedy plan or Kennedy agenda.
Where were you the day when he was assassinated?
I was sitting in an English composition class. I was a freshman at Jacksonville State, which was then Jacksonville State College. It didn't become Jacksonville State University until a couple of years later.
How did y'all find out? Did someone come in the classroom?
As soon as we come out of the class, it was like, seemed like it was like 12:30 or somewhere around that time, that particular day, I forget now. Someone had just heard on the radio that he had been assassinated, and the word was spreading down the hallways. And everybody then that didn't have classes to go to that afternoon, everybody went watching televisions and to see what was going on. And for the next 3 days, I guess, or longer, everybody was glued to their TV sets watching all the things that followed his assassination. Everything from reports about who may have done it to them arresting Lee Harvey Oswald and Johnson getting sworn in to be president, and watching the funeral, and then watching Lee Harvey Oswald get shot. And just all those things were, everybody got to see, because most everybody was glued to the TV sets for several days right after the assassination.
Did y'all have classes? Some classes canceled? Mm-hmm.
Well, that happened on a Friday, as I recall, so it was over a weekend that most of the things were going on, and that particular Monday, I forget for sure, but it seems like classes were called because, I think, as best I can remember, we did not have class that following Monday because the funeral, he lied in state, I don't remember how long, but they had the funeral sometime several days later, but I can't remember just the exact days and details, just off the top of my head, because that's been 30 years ago.
Were there reports all of Lee Harvey Oswald, or were there reports then they were suspected people in the government at the time?
Well, there was just a lot of story speculation, but most of the theory is about conspiracy and all the other possibilities. Those cropped up as time went along, but most of the initial impression most people had was that Oswald was probably definitely the main guy, if there was only one, but if there was more than one, he was definitely involved. So, but there was, in the subsequent months and years, there's been plenty of discussion and speculation about you know, how many people it would have actually taken to fire the bullets and then do the different things that they did to damage Governor Connally and President Kennedy. So all those things are just, you know, they've never been proven one way or the other.
Do you believe they have some validity?
Well, it's very possible that, that, you know, that some of the shooting theories may be to account for things, but since there's no hard evidence to indicate, and other than just theory about what a bullet can do, and it starts ricocheting around in somebody's head, you can't really, you know, it's probably, they'll probably never know the truth if there's any difference in what we already know.
What was the spirit among the people of the country at that time?
Oh, everybody was stunned. Everybody was, you know, saddened and worried about things. And the people that really supported Kennedy, I'm sure, took it a lot worse than people that hadn't supported him, maybe necessarily, but even then, those of us that didn't care for him as much as we would say another person being elected, but we still didn't want to see that kind of thing happen in our country.
Do you